Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Judges, and this is chapter 14. There are 20 verses, and we have about 8 pages here of commentary. So right now, let's go up to the throne of the living God to ask the Lord to anoint this message. Now, Father, we know that you're here because there are many more than two of us gathered together in your name and to dispense your word onto a tape that we pray will open people's ears. We pray that you open the ears, spiritual ears, and the mind and the spirit itself of everyone. And, Lord, make it to where people's souls will be saved, that they'll have the desire to unite their spirit with yours, and then give everything that they have of themselves unto you. For you will not share your tabernacle, which is us, with another. You will not share your tabernacle even with us. Even though we have our own wills, you want us to will to make our will your will. It's your desire, Lord, that we be about establishing the kingdom of heaven on this earth. You called us to do just that. Lord, you're gathering together a nation of people here on earth, and every person that gets saved is making it to where the kingdom of heaven is being established just that much more here on this earth. Lord, we know that your spirit brings forth life, and that there is no other life other than the life that is in you, your Holy Spirit, in Christ Jesus. For you, your Son, and the Spirit are one. And Lord, you're dwelling in us, and in us is all spiritual blessings. And we pray, Lord, that you'll unpack that, and we must impact that on our minds every day, so that our minds are filled with you, your word, and so that we are able to keep our spirit and mind united with yours, that our minds be stayed on you both day and night, to meditate on you so that we can be totally free from the cares of this world. Praise the Lord. Lord, let souls be saved, and let you direct every and anoint every word that's being read from your word, and that you anoint the commentary in Jesus' name, that we might stand another day in the Lord. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go. Judges chapter 14, verse 1.
Samson's riddle. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Verse 2. And he came up and told his father and his mother, and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Verse 3. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well.
Okay, then what?
Verse 4. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord.
So right there it says that it's of the Lord, but the theologians today say that Samson had a female problem. That wasn't a female problem. That was the Lord telling him to do it, okay?
Yes.
And so, you know, I rebuke all you theologians that say these things. You just read these, quote, study Bibles that are full of beans, all right? And you go by what the study Bibles say. I forbid study Bibles in this church. All right?
Yeah.
Because they're filled with theological ideas of what some men have made up from theological seminaries or cemeteries, and they don't go by what it says right here in the Bible. It was of the Lord, okay?
But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord.
It was of the Lord for him to get married to this Shiksa. Okay, now a Shiksa is a non-Jewish woman, all right? A Gentile woman. Are you a Shiksa?
No.
Are you a Shiksa?
No.
Okay, so we have non-Shiksas here. All right, then what?
But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines.
She says, I'm not a Shiksa, I'm a Puerto Rican. Okay, let's go. Go ahead. Go do that again.
That his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Verse 5. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. Verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Translation, verse 1 through 6. Samson's riddle. One day when Samson was in Timnath, he noticed a certain Philistine woman. Verse 2. When he returned home, he told his father and mother, quote, I want to marry a young Philistine woman I saw in Timnath, unquote. Verse 3. His father and mother objected strenuously, quote, isn't there one woman in our tribe among all the Israelites you could marry? Why must you go to the pagan Philistines to find a wife? Unquote. But Samson told his father, quote, get her for me. She is the one I want. Unquote. Verse 4. His father and mother didn't realize the Lord was at work in this. Bracket. So people that say that Samson was a sinner for doing this, he wasn't. This was the Lord's work, creating an opportunity to disrupt the Philistines who ruled over Israel at that time. And bracket. Verse 5. As Samson and his parents were going down to Timnath, a young lion attacked Samson near the vineyards of Timnath. Verse 6. At that moment, the Spirit of the Lord powerfully took control of him, and he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. He did it as easily as if it were a young goat, but he didn't tell his father or mother about it. King James Version, verse 7. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Verse 8. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Verse 9. And he took thereof in his hand, and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion.
Yeah, because that would have been an abomination. You're not supposed to, as a Nazirite, you are not to touch a dead body of anything. Amen?
Amen.
Especially to eat anything that was inside of it. And especially of an unclean animal like a lion. Amen?
Amen.
So those are offenses that Samson did do that were very wrong. Okay, then what?
Verse 10. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. Translation, verse 7 through 10. When Samson arrived in Timnah, he talked with the woman and was very pleased with her. Verse 8. Later when he returned to Timnah for the wedding, he turned off the path to look at the carcass of the lion, and he found that a swarm of bees had made some honey in the carcass. Verse 9. He scooped some of the honey into his hand and ate it along the way. He also gave some to his father and mother, and they ate it. But he didn't tell them he had taken the honey from the carcass of the lion. Verse 10. As his father was making final arrangements for the marriage, Samson threw a party at Timnah, as was the custom of the day. King James Version, verse 11. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Verse 12. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast, and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. Verse 13. But if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, Put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. Verse 14. And he came unto them, and he said unto them, Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. Verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, Entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have you called us to take that we have? Is it not so? Translation, verse 11 through 15. 30 young men from the town were invited to be his companions. Verse 12. Samson said to them, quote, Let me tell you a riddle. If you solve my riddle during these 7 days of the celebration, I will give you 30 plain linen robes and 30 fancy robes. Verse 13. But if you can't solve it, then you must give me 30 linen robes and 30 fancy robes. Verse 14. Quote,
Give me 30. Okay. And then what else?
Verse 14. Quote, All right, they agreed. Let's hear your riddle. Unquote. So he said, quote, From the one who eats came something too. Out of the strong came something sweet. Unquote. 3 days later, they were still trying to figure it out. Verse 15. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, quote, Get the answer to the riddle from your husband, or we will burn down your father's house with you in it. Did you invite us to this party just to make us poor? Unquote. King James Version, verse 16. And Samson's wife wept before him and said, Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, Behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? Verse 17. And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. Verse 18. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, If ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle.
Means, in other words, if you have not negotiated some kind of a threat or a deal with my wife, there's no way that you could have found this riddle out. So they threatened her, okay, and then what?
Verse 19, And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. Verse 20. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. Translation, verse 16 through 20. So Samson's wife came to him in tears and said, quote, You don't love me, you hate me, exclamation mark. You have given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer, unquote.
quote, "I haven't even given the answer to my father or mother," he replied. "Why should I tell you?" Unquote. Verse 17, so she cried whenever she was with him and kept it up for the rest of the celebration. At last, on the seventh day, he told her the answer because of her persistent nagging. Then she gave the answer to the young men. Verse 18, so before sunset of the seventh day, the men of the town came to Samson with their answer. Quote, "What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" Samson replied, quote, "If you hadn't plowed with my heifer," bracket my wife, and bracket, "you wouldn't have found the answer to my riddle," exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 19, then the Spirit of the Lord powerfully took control of him. He went down to the town of Ashkelon, killed 30 men, took their belongings, and gave their clothing to the men who had answered his riddle. But Samson was furious about what had happened, and he went back home to live with his father and mother. Verse 20, so his wife was given in marriage to the man who had been Samson's best man at that wedding.
Okay, that was the 20 verses in chapter 14 of Judges, and now we've got some commentary.
14 verse 1 through 20. Samson's heroic demonstrations of physical power with the Philistines began at the time of his marriage to a Philistine woman. Samson appears to have violated his Nazarite vow on two occasions. Most people believe that, but most people don't realize that God wanted him to do that. He didn't violate it. He was walking, so to speak, in the spirit. One, he scooped honey out of a lion's carcass. And two,
that was one violation. And then two, then what?
He conducted a feast where they drank wine. The feast where they had wine was definitely wrong, for sure, and eating the honey out of the lion's carcass was an abomination. 14 verse 1. Timnah, the city generally identified with modern Tel El Batashi, was probably located on the northern border of Judah near Beth Shemesh in the Sorek Valley. 14 verse 2. Quote, "Get her for me," unquote. Negotiations for marriage were customarily carried out by the parents. Samson's parents appeared to be interestedly involved in this marriage contract, verses 1 through 5. Then Samson took over the wedding plans, verse 10. 14 verse 3, quote, "The uncircumcised Philistines, unquote. Samson's parents used this expression to deride the Philistines, apparently the only people around Israel who were not circumcised. According to the Mosaic law, an Israelite was not to marry a Canaanite. Exodus chapter 34, verse 16, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3. Samson's parents, therefore, voiced their disapproval. Quote, "For she pleased me well," unquote, literally means, "For she is right in my eyes." It is similar to the Hebrew expression in chapter 17, verse 6, and chapter 21, verse 25, but is translated, quote, "Everyone did what was right in his own eyes," unquote.
Right, so what's right in my eyes is right for me, and what's right in your eyes is right for you. They don't go by the law of God, and that was wrong. Amen?
Amen.
But in Samson's case, this woman was of the Lord, all right? Because God was in it. So, therefore, it was right in Samson's eyes because he knew it was of the Lord, but his parents didn't. And these theologians don't know it. But it says it right in the Bible, so they need to read the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, what else?
14, verse 4.
You married a Puerto Rican? No, a Philistine. Right?
Right. Quote, quote, that it was of the Lord, unquote. God didn't approve that Samson should break the law, but he used the circumstances of Samson's marriage for his purpose and for his glory. So
that was like he had Jose marry a couple of prostitutes, amen?
Amen.
To make a point. because he used them as Israel and Judah, how they are committing adultery on God. And he knew that these two hookers would commit adultery on Hosea. Amen? To let Hosea know just what it feels like to have a nation of people that were called that God was married to commit adultery on him. Amen?
Amen.
To have a couple of rotten brides is the same as having, would give Hosea a hint of what it was, of what God felt like. Okay, then what?
So that was of the Lord. 14 verse 6. The Spirit of the Lord. I talked about that in the beginning of Judges. The Holy Spirit at work. Quote, a young goat, unquote. Tearing a goat in half by pulling apart its hind legs is still practiced in Arab countries. 14 verse 8 through 9. Samson violates his Nazarite vow by touching the carcass of the lion and thus became ceremonially unclean. Numbers 6 verse 6.
Right, that law is in the book of Numbers, chapter 6 verse 6. Okay, you can look that up there. Then what else?
14 verse 10, quote, feast, unquote. A seven-day marriage feast was common in that time in the ancient Near East. Wine was usually served at such a feast, and Samson may have violated his Nazarite vow once again. Samson apparently gave the feast without involving his parents. These festivities normally would have taken place in the bridegroom's home, and Samson would have had Israelite companions and an Israelite best man. Samson's marriage would be called a tzaddika marriage in Arab society today, where arrangements are made directly with the bride's family. The wife continues to live at home with her father, and her husband visits her periodically. 14 verse 11, quote, they saw him, unquote. The antecedents for, quote, they, unquote, is obscure. It probably refers to the Philistine family. 14 verse 12, linen garments were large rectangular sheets of linen which could be used as a garment or as a cover. Quote, 30 changes of clothing were vestal garments which guests would wear at a wedding. 14 verse 19, quote, the Spirit of the Lord, unquote. In spite of Samson's foolishness, the Lord empowered him with his spirit for the purpose of humbling the Philistines and disrupting their domination of the Israelites. The foolishness that I'm talking about is that he told his wife about where his strength lay, that he cannot cut his hair. 14 verse 10 through 20. During the wedding feast, Samson bet that his guests could not solve his riddle. After being manipulated and nagged by his new wife, he lost the wager. Samson slaughtered other Philistines to get the garments he needed for payment. A lot of people don't realize that a lot of these things that Samson did was of the Lord, because if your wife commits adultery, or somebody commits adultery with her, then they should be stoned to death. These people that he killed and took their garments away from them, the Lord called him to destroy the Philistines anyway, and a lot of people think he just had a violent temper. He was called to do that. So many people just think that he should have never done that, that everybody is supposed to not do what the Lord says. A lot of times we aspire to be like people who have great physical beauty, only to find out that they are shallow of character. We must never forget how much God values those who have His qualities and do what He says, how people are on the inside. God looks upon a person's heart, their spirit, not their appearance at all. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. 14 verse 6, quote, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson mightily, unquote, refers to the unusual physical strength given him by the Spirit of the Lord. Samson did not seem to be affected in any other ways than increased physical strength. 14 verse 18, quote, if you had not plowed with my heifer, unquote, means if you had not manipulated my wife, had sexual relationships with her, worked with her, conniving.
Yeah, he may not have had sexual relationships with her, but she was more afraid of them to the point to where she actually committed adultery on her husband because she told something that she wasn't supposed to tell. That in itself is adultery. If a woman leaves her husband and goes to live with her dad, her own dad, that's adultery because you're breaking the marriage vow. You're to be with your husband, all right? And if she would have been had faith in Samson's strength, when they told, she should have told him, these people threatened to burn my father's house down and burn me up in it. What are you going to do about it, Samson? Okay? Then Samson would have went over there and probably burned their house down, amen? And maybe, you know, make Siamese twins out of them. Press them together to where they're one. Amen?
Yeah.
But she didn't. She went and, you know, negotiated with them and begged him to, it made him look like a fool. Okay? Like, you know, she's more benevolent towards them. And so, sure, it infuriated Samson, and he went and did the number on those 30 Philistines. Okay, what else?
If they hadn't threatened his wife, they wouldn't have learned the answer to his riddle.
Well, yeah, I know, but if, again, if she would have squealed on them, so to speak, and told Samson what they were saying, he would have taken care of it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
A woman should never let anyone threaten her to betray her husband. Amen?
Yeah.
If she does it, she should take the course that I'm not going to betray my husband or tell my husband what they're doing. And see if the man is godly enough to do something about it. Amen?
Yeah.
And then what? I didn't put that in the commentary, but this is just an afterthought. Amen? Okay, what else?
14 verse 19. Samson impulsively used the special gift God gave him for selfish purposes. Today, God distributes abilities and skills throughout the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul states that these gifts are to be used, quote, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, unquote, to bring about the kingdom of heaven on this earth. Every soul that's saved, the kingdom of heaven is brought about further and further on earth, as it is in heaven. That is, to build up the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. To use these abilities for selfish purposes is to rob the church and fellow believers of strength. As you use the gifts God has given you, be sure you are helping others, not just yourself. It is sad to be remembered for what one might have been. Samson had tremendous potential. Not many people have started life with credentials like his. Or as a result of God's plan in the lives of Manoah and his wife, Samson was to do a great work for God, to, quote, begin and bracket, and bracket, not only begin and bracket, to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines, unquote. To help him accomplish God's plan, he was given enormous supernatural physical strength. Because Samson wasted his strength on practical jokes and getting out of scrapes, and because he eventually gave it up altogether to satisfy the woman he lusted after, we tend to see him as a failure. Remember him as the judge in Israel who spent his last days grinding grain in an enemy prison, and we say, quote, what wasted potential, exclamation mark, unquote. Yes, as Samson wasted his life, he could have strengthened his nation. He could have returned his people to the worship of God. He could have wiped out the Philistines. But even though he didn't do any of those things, Samson still accomplished the purpose announced by the angel who visited his parents before his birth. In his final act, Samson began to rescue Israel from the Philistines. Interestingly, the New Testament does not mention Samson's failures or his heroic feats of strength. In Hebrews, he is simply listed with others, quote, who by faith conquered kingdoms, unquote. So we know then that Samson was not a complete failure, because he began to deliver Israel as the Lord stated. And that stint with the prostitute, the Bible states that that was of the Lord, but he needed to be strong in that. Quote, who by faith conquered kingdoms and performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, unquote. And in other ways were given supernatural, superhuman aid.
People may question my saying a prostitute. She prostituted herself against her husband. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
In the end, Samson recognized his dependence on God. When he died, God turned his failures and defeats into victory. Samson's story teaches us that it is never too late in the Old Testament to start over. It is better to trust the scripture that says, he may peradventure forgive you. So it's best to just continue on. No matter what you've done, just keep going. Otherwise, there is no chance for you. In this sense, you should always say, if you sin so much that you think you can't recover, always think that it's never too late to start over. Take up the cross and begin serving the Lord as never before. However badly we may have failed in the past, today is not too late for us to put our complete trust in God, unless you've just decided to live a life of sin, and unless you have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Now we know that sins of ignorance are forgiven. There are sins unto death, and there are sins that are not unto death. Strengths and accomplishments of Samson. 1. Dedicated to God from birth as a Nazarite. 2. Known for his feats of strength. 3. Listed in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. 4. Began to free Israel from Philistine oppression. Weaknesses, sins, or mistakes. Some of them are not sins because, as the Bible says, it was of the Lord that he married that woman. 1. He did violate his vow and God's laws on many occasions. 2. He was controlled to the point to where he revealed things unto this woman. He had a weakness to not have patience. Many people thought that he was controlled by sensuality, but this isn't true. It was of the Lord. 3. Confided in the wrong people. That was Delilah. And 4. Used his gifts and abilities unwisely at the time. Lessons from his life. 1. Great strength in one area of life does not make up for great weakness in other areas. 2. God's presence does not overwhelm a person's will. 3. God can use a person of faith in spite of his or her mistakes. I'm saying mistakes, not sins. It's a stupid thing to reveal anything to that woman.
Yeah, it was very stupid for him to tell her. But as I said before, that he didn't have enough patience to put up with her constant nagging. I would have just told her, look, I'm going fishing. I'd like to fish, or I'm going into my room, you know. Don't bug me. Or I'll slap you silly, right? No. You don't say that, right? No, I tell you, shave all her hair off. I'd rather do that than get my eyes poked out and wind up doing the job of an ox, you know, pulling a mill, one of those millstones around and round. Okay, then what?
Vital statistics. one where it was Zora, Timnath, Ashkelon, Gaza, Valley of Sorek. 2, occupation, judge. 3, relative, father, Manoah. 4, contemporary, Delilah, Samuel, who might have been born while Samson was a judge. Key verse, quote, "You shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines," unquote. And notice it says that he shall be a Nazarite from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines.
Not deliver him, but begin to. Okay? That never happened until the reign of David, king of Israel. And what?
Because the people of Israel were not delivered from the hands of the Philistines until the time of the psalmist David.
All right, that was chapter 14 of Judges, and there are 20 verses in the commentary. And the Bible tells us that we're a house, we're a temple, and God doesn't want to share our bodies with any of ourselves or anybody else. We can't have any other gods or and anything other than letting God have his way in us. Anything that would prevent that would be an idol or another god. And so we can't let a woman or a man or any type of desire rule the house. I heard an evangelist talking about this one time where he was saying that he invited Jesus into the house, into his house. He had a two-story house, and he let him have the upstairs. And then the devil would come and knock on the door and come, and he'd open the door, and the devil would just mess him around really bad and so on. And he asked the Lord, he told the Lord, "Lord, I mean, the devil's messing me around. You're in the house here with me. Why didn't you do something?" And so, it's to make a long story short, he told Jesus, first he let him stay in a room, then he let him have the second floor, and then he says, Jesus told him, "Why don't you just let me take over the whole house and you be my guest, okay?" And so, finally he says, "All right, I'll do that." And so, when he got to have the room upstairs, and Jesus took over the whole house, and then the devil come knocking on the door, and he heard these big footsteps going to the door, and that was it. You know, you couldn't hear anything that the devil was doing anymore, because Jesus knows how to deal with the devil. He's already defeated him. Amen?
Yeah.
And so that's what we need to do, is let the Lord take over our whole house, not give him a little room or the top floor or even, you know, part of the second floor and second floor and the first part of the first floor. Jesus said he wants all. He wants all or nothing at all. We have to give him all the heart, all the soul, all the mind, and all the strength. Amen?
Amen.
And when you do, then when the devil comes to you, the Lord is right there at the door, and he won't let him in. And he'll throw the devil away from you as far as the east is from the west. Amen? And that's a long way. Amen? So keep that in mind. I thought that was a very good parable of what this evangelist, his name is Reinhard Bonnke. He's from Germany. I thought it was a very, very apropos analogy. So that is a very good parable, you know, where if we don't give the whole house over to the Lord, our whole temple, our whole body, for him to live in, there's no way that he can defend people that are not 100% his. If you're 100% his, then he'll be 100% yours. Okay, so meditate on that the rest of the day, and if you can remember it, you know, the rest of your life, that would be very good. Amen?
Amen.
Until chapter 15, this is Tony Alamo, your pastor, and God bless you and praise the Lord.